Okay, Boker Tov. So if you have the sheets that we shared by email, there are two pages. If you don't have them in your email, you can find them. The Kollel posted it to its Facebook page, where you'll have the Mar Mekomo sheet that I'm holding in my left hand here. And if you have neither of them, don't worry. We are in the final stretch, getting ready for Pesach. Habo Aleinu Latova, please God, this week, maybe in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, hopefully with the Geula and the Yeshua right at hand. But if not, then we're going to be in our own homes. And so it's an opportunity this morning to focus on understanding the Haggadah. And we're going to tackle a particular part of the Haggadah. Each year we get together before Yontif and we share Haggadah highlights. Well, this year our Haggadah highlights are actually all within one section of the Haggadah, and you'll see which one and why presently. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Borei Pri Haaretz. So let's look at the page that looks like this with a ton of text on it. Mining the core, the Haggadah for 5780. Haggadah highlights, we're going to try to get through a dozen of these in the short time that we have this morning. The Rambam tells us in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Umatzah Halacha Dalet what we're supposed to do for our Haggadah. So he tells us that for the part of Magid that we tell the story, Vitzarach lahaskel begenusel l'sayim b'shavach. You have to start with the bad and finish with the good, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, and he gives us both frames. Keitzan maskel m'saper. First you start and you tell the story. Shebetchila hayu avosin b'mei Terach. First our forefathers in the days of Terach, u'milafonov, and before him, Kofrim. They were heretics. V'toan achara hevel, v'rot fin achara avodas alilim. People were doing all kinds of idol worship, and they were completely misguided. Messiah adasa emes. And we conclude with the truthful religion. That's the Jewish religion. Shekervano amokam lo, v'vdilonu min ha'umos, v'kervano li'yichudo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us close to his worship, his service, our connection to him. V'chein maschil modia sha'ovdim, Hayinu lefar b'Mitzrayim. We also avodim to Mitzrayim, to Paro. So we have maskel b'genos. We start at the bad on the spiritual level, and then on the physical level, v'chol rosh shegabalanu, and all the evil that Paro did to us. U'mesayim b'nisim u'deflos, and we finish with the miracles and the wonders she'os she'nasu lanu u'bechiroseinu, that was done to us and our chosenness. V'hu, and then here's the key line for us today: sheyidrosh, that you should darshan. You should learn, me aramid oved avi, from aramid oved avi, ad sheyigmor kol haparsha. This is taken from the Mishnah in Pesachim, that part of our Haggadah is learning. Learning what? Learning a medrash. A medrash is a collection of teachings. There are lots of different kinds of midrashim. These midrashim are from the period of the Mishnah or from the Gemara. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, shehakol ni'eved baro. Where the Gemara, in addition to its halachic understanding of the Pesukim, also gives us a homiletic or exegetical perspective on the Dvar Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah that has infinitely deep layers of meaning and interpretation. So the way Chazal read the Pesukim is that they'll take a Pasuk and they'll read in between the lines. And we'll give an example of what that looks like. So we're going to do that at the Haggadah. We're going to have a Drasha. We're going to Darshan. And we're going to Darshan a section called Aramid Ovid Avi. But look what's interesting in the end of the Rambam. The last line of this Rambam says, V'chol ha-mosif u'marech bedrash parsha zu harezim meshubach. Fascinating. We say in the Haggadah, in our Seder, please God, Habo Aleinu Latova, this Lel Chamishi, which is the exact night, according to the Gemara, that we left Egypt, which was, according to the vast majority of opinions, on a Wednesday night, we left Egypt on Thursday, so the Seder this week is Wednesday night, exactly the way that it was in that year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. At our Seder on Wednesday night, we're going to say, V'cholamar v'lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim harezim b'shubach. Anybody who tells the story for a long time. That's what it sounds like from the Haggadah, but that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that v'chol hamarbe, anybody who is marbe, umarech, and lengthens, bidrash parsha zu, not in the story, but in the drasha. So the Rambam is telling us that a key, central, paramount element of the Haggadah is learning. And it's not just learning the Divrei Torah, the Vortlach, that we say over on the Haggadah. The Vortlach are beautiful, but the drush of understanding the psukim and analyzing them, according to the Rambam, on that we say, Hamar b'harezim mishubach. So what are the drushes? So if you look at this page, I laid it out. The Torah gives us, in the section of Mikra Bikurim, the farmer who brings the first fruits, if you have it in front of you, great. You see there are a series of psukim, which are in the giant and bold letters. And then what Chazal do is they break down these psukim by segment. So, for example, the first pasuk, Sheneamar, which is introduced by Tse'ulaman Mabikish Lovin Arami, Arami Dovid Elvi Vayered Mitzrayma, Vayogar Sham B'Mesei Ma'at, Vayhi Sham L'Goy Gadol Atzum Varav. That's pasuk number one. You have it on your sheets in the big block. Then it's Vayered Mitzrayma in the underline, explanation. Anas al piyadibor. B'mesei ma'at, that's a phrase, explanation. Vayisham legoy, explanation. Varav, explanation. And then we go to the next pasuk. Vayareyu osanu ha-mitzrim vayya'anunu. Vayidnu aleinu avodakasha. So Vayareyu osanu ha-mitzrim, explanation. Vayya'anunu, explanation. Vayidnu aleinu avodakasha. So this is how Chazal darshan psukim. Chazal explain, they amplify, they open up the psukim beyond what you see. So we're in the Haggadah. This is actually the entirety of this section. It goes from Tseulamad until the Eser Makos, and then there's a little bit of additional drush of the Makos that were at Yamsuf and how many Makos there were. But the way you get to Eser Makos in the Haggadah is through a drusha. It's through that last pasuk of Bizyat Chazaka 2, Bizran Netuya 2, Mora Gadol 2, that's 6, Uva Usos 2, Uva Movsim 2, that's 10. So the actual link to the Eser Makos, the telling over of the frogs and the plagues and the whole story, that comes from a drasha. It's from the drasha of Arami Oved Avi. So we chose words, a section of the Dvar Hashem, of the psukim, and we develop them. We use them as the springboard for understanding, filling in the picture. Awesome. So the question is, why did we pick this section of Mikra Bikurim? This appears in the beginning of Parshas Kisavo. Why don't we pick a section from Parshas Bo or Parshas Bishalach? So there are many suggestions as to why we would do this. Perhaps it's because the person who's bringing the Bikurim never left Egypt, and yet he still identifies that story with that story, much like we do. Perhaps it's because we want to cultivate that feeling of gratitude. Dayenu, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for everything. And that's the feeling that the Mikra Bikurim has. Perhaps it's because there is this fascinating pattern, which continues to repeat itself, that in Mikra Bikurim, how many verses are there? There are 5. But how many do we say at the Haggadah? Only 4. We conclude, Uva Oso Suvamovsim, right after that is Vayivienu El HaMakom HaZeh. He brings us to this place. Wait a second. How many cups are there at the Seder? There are 5 cups. The Koshel Elio, which the minig is not to drink, but there were some who did. So we have 5 cups, but we only drink 4. Interesting. Something that comes in 5, but we only have 4. Same thing happening again. The 4 cups, according to the Yerushalmi, are based off the 5 Lashonos of Geula. 5 Lashonos, Votzesi, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti, and then there's one more, Vehevesi, same as Vayivienu. We just haven't gotten that far yet. So today we recognize, thank God, Vayivienu, we have the state of Israel. We're not at full Geula, but we're at least in that process. But being mindful of this pattern of the trajectory of Jewish history and the 4 versus the 5, the Eliyahu HaNavi bringing the full Geula, that coast, we're still waiting to drink that. That is not coincidental at all. So let's get started. You have the outline for you. That's what we're going to be using mostly. You can take notes. Don't worry about it. You can follow along even if you don't have the outline. So we start, Seyulamad, Ma Bikesh Lovin Ho Arami, Lasus Liakov Avinu. Look what Lavan wanted to do to our forefathers, to Jacob. And it's even worse than Paro, because Paro only wanted to kill the boys, but Lavan wanted to kill everyone. And of course, there's tons to say. We could say hours and hours on each of these pieces, but we're going to just share a sampling this morning, and I'm going to introduce you to various Haggadahs as we go along for some of these insights. So the origin, it tells us, is Vayered Mitzrayim, Arami Ovidavi Vayered Mitzrayim. The origins of the Gullus of Mitzrayim is with Lavan. Why is it with Lavan? What does it have to do with Lavan? So if you take a look in this Haggadah, this is the Haggadah of Haggadahs Gedolei Tenuas HaMusar, the great Musar giants, those who gave us insight into ethical development, beginning with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So they quote here from Reb Chatzkel Levenstein. Reb Chatzkel was the mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva. He traveled with the Mir Yeshiva from Europe through Shanghai into Israel. And he quotes here from the Vilna Gaon, Yaakov belavon dugmas Yisrael b'mitzrayim. That the relationship between the Gullus with Lavan and the Gullus with Egypt, that they are parallel, teaches us something. And what is that teaching? He teaches us that it's something that's very powerful. It's certainly true for this time. He says that Yaakov went to the house of Esav. Why? Because he was escaping from his brother. He was running away for his life. And the Jewish people in Egypt, they were in a state of vayimaru eschayehem. And yet, when Yaakov Avinu left Lavan's home, he was married. He had a family. He had a parnas, he had a livelihood. He comes back to Israel with everything. He says to Esav Yeshlikol. In the Jewish experience in Egypt, on the one end, it was miserable, it was wretched, it was suffering. On the other hand, we went down as 70 people. We came out as an enormous nation with wealth, built a Mishkan, received the Torah. He says, Davka b'mitzrayim nivne klal Yisrael. Mitoch cheshchas Yisrael lebavel, bebavel letalmud bavli. In Bavel, which was a difficult exile, we had the Talmud Bavli. V'lachein nomar alzmaneinu. What an incredibly important message for us today, says Reb Chatzkel, a man who survived the Holocaust and the escape of refugee status in Shanghai. What does he say? Af shelechura nira churban li Yisrael. Even though it seems that there is a terrible churban, a destruction, a suffering, a challenge, aval ha'emesi, the truth is, she'achzav zeu binyan Yisrael. Aval bevechina nisteris. He says in his lifetime, he's seeing the building of the Jewish people. It's just hidden. Umikan, you never know. Le'olam lo yodim heichan makam hatzlacha be'emes. Where is the place of true growth? Where is it going to happen? Says Reb Chatzkel, you never know. It might look bleak, but it might be an opportunity for growth. Isn't that a beautiful way to reflect on the time period that we're in? We are in a period of terrible choshech, and we're davening, we're begging the Ribbono Shel Olam to save us. But at the same time, even in this tzara, we should realize that perhaps, potentially, a great Yeshua can be born from this. Arami Dovidovi Vayeren Mitzrayma, who was our forefather? Our forefather was Yaakov. He was a shepherd. Our forefathers, they came down to Egypt. Yosef says, you know what you should tell Paro? We are Roei Tzon. We are shepherds. And yet, Mikra Bikurim, this declaration is being said by a farmer. We go back, way, way back to the beginning of human history, and we had some tension between Hevel, who was a Roei Tzon, Hevel, who was a shepherd, and Cain, who was an Oved Adama. So Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph E. Soloveitchik, has an essay here in Festival of Freedom, where he talks about how many have said that Jews prefer to be shepherds over city dwellers. And from one perspective, that's true. City dwellers are sometimes kayin, kone, attached to very into material possessions, acquiring and having something of substance in this world. And that is an unhealthy connection. Yet, Rav Soloveitchik points out that even though, yes, our forebearers, they were Roei Tzon, Yitzchak was only for a brief period, Oved Adama, but primarily our forefathers and David HaMelech, they were shepherds. Yet there's also the ethic of an agricultural economy. yes, there is the element of the pastoral economy, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Roi lo echzer, you are our shepherd, just like we are shepherds, we're not so attached to the land, we develop sensitivity to our animals and not to our own possessions. But at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ethic of an agricultural economy of the land, because there is also a psychological element there. The farmer, says the Rav, loves his homestead and is loyal to it. He doesn't surrender territory. He says, look at the story of Navos, who didn't want to give up his vineyard to the king. What does he care? The answer is people who own a home, they have a homestead, they are attached to it. We are attached to it. And that's important, because that teaches us to defend ourselves and stand up for ourselves. On the one hand, the shepherd is kind and hospitable, while the farmer is ruthless, insensitive, and at times cruel. His motto is, my homestead is my fortress. The Torah wants the Jew, says the Rav, to be as kind, as gentle as the legendary shepherd. On the other hand, the Torah is concerned with defense. The Jew is engaged in a permanent struggle, and in order to emerge victorious from his historical engagement, he must be tough and brave. So we, through our different exiles and our different experiences, have developed this orientation. That on the one hand, Aramid Ovidavi, we begin as shepherds with Lavan and with our forefathers who go down to Egypt. But when we leave Egypt, we want to settle in the land, because ultimately, Emir Tzashem, that is where we're going to be as custodians of Eretz Yisrael and models for the entire world. So that's walking in the way of Hashem, according to the Rav, is being both a shepherd and a farmer. Beautiful. This idea of starting from love on one more ha'ara from this Haggadah. This Haggadah is called the Haggadah Shlema from Rav Menachem Mendel Kasher, which is a tremendous Likud collection of many different Sfarim and developing an understanding of the origin of the Haggadah and where each section came from, because the Haggadah is a piece that came up over the years. He says, how could it be that Lavan is the beginning of the exile? So he quotes some Sfarim, a Sefer who quotes from the Ma'ari Bei Rav, who was a great Talmud Chacham who lived at the time of the Beis Yosef, 16th century. Today, we don't hear about him so much, but in those days, he was the man. He says something amazing. Lavan bikesh lakar es hakol. It's because of Lavan, Aramid Ovidavi, Vayered Mitzrayma. Because of Lavan, we ended up in Egypt. You know why? Because Lavan, he got involved in the Shidduch situation with Yaakov Avinu. Had it not been for Lavan, so Yaakov first would have married, that's right, Rachel. And who would have been born first, ostensibly? Yosef. And so Yosef would have not just been Yaakov's Bechor in his heart, he would have been his Bechor in reality. But because Lavan moved around the Shidduch and he presented Leah instead of Rachel, so Reuven was born first. So Reuven was technically lo mishpat ha-bechor. He was technically the bechor. And now we have attention. Now we have vayikanu bo achav. Now we have a situation where the brothers are jealous of each other on their level. And that tension ends leading us down to Mitzrayim. The brothers sell Yosef down to Egypt because of the tension which was sowed by Lavan. So on some level, it's Lavan bikesh lakar es hakol. Lavan was much worse. A, he wanted to destroy all his children, as is clear from the Psukin. But Lavan got involved in the family dynamic, and that is what ended us up in Egypt. First Pasuk tells us, Vayered Mitzrayma, and the first drasha here is Onos al pi hadibur. Onos al pi hadibur, we were coerced by the Dibur. Here is another beautiful message that we could take home for our own Haggadahs, our own Siddurim, our own Pesach this year. It comes from this Haggadah. It's called the Haggadah Shal Pesach Al Pi Mate Moshe of Koznitz. The Halakha Koznitz or Magid, Rabbi Yisrael Hapshtin, had a son whose name was Rav Moshe Hapshtin, and he published a Haggadah. There is a Likud of his Divrei Torah on the Haggadah, and he has a beautiful observation on this, which is something we can take solace in today. What does it mean, Onos al pi hadibur? Because when Yaakov Avinu went down to Egypt, the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Al tira Yaakov, don't be afraid. Anochi erid imcha Mitzrayma. I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, the Shechina will go down with you to Egypt. So wait a second. It's very much like that story of Rus, where it says, Ba'asher telchi elech. Yaakov Avinu is told, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going down to Egypt. Are you coming? Don't worry, I'm going. So kiviyachol, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes down to Egypt. So we say, Yaakov looks around, he says, of course I'm going to go. Onos al pi hadibur. He was, so to speak, forced to go because of the dibur, because Hashem said to him, I'm going into exile. And he takes it to another layer, which is that the Zohar HaKadosh explains that in Mitzrayim, the dibur was in galus. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu had no speech, because in Egypt, there was no dibur. The dibur, the Shechina, was in galus. That's why Yaakov was onus. But that's why it's only logur. He says he was only there temporarily, because as soon as the Shechina is going to leave, as long as there's going to be a Yetzias Mitzrayim, because when the Shechina goes, he's going to go too. The Dibur, Onos al pi ha-dibur, the Shechina, the expression of the word, was in exile, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's time to go make a Pesach, a mouth that speaks. Let's free the Dibur, emancipate our aspect of Dibur, the Shechina that speaks to us in this world. That's going back to Israel, so are we. We learn that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us in Golus. Right now, we're in Golus. We're in Golus from work, we're in Golus from family, and the worst, we're Golus from Shul, from the Beis HaKnesses, from the Mikdash Ma'at. But don't worry. Anochi Eret Imcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he's going to come down with us, right now with me in my basement, in my special man cave here with my Svarim. The Ribbono Shel Olam is with us. Even though we can't be together in person for our learning, but the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us, and he's going to come with us in here, and then he's going to go out with us. We follow him. And that's what it means, Anas al pi hadibur. Wherever he says he's going, that's where we're going also. Anas al pi hadibur, from the Koznetzer Magid. Beautiful. We end up in Egypt. Vayitnu aleinu avoda kasha, vayareyu osanu hamitzrim. Excuse me, before that. We become there, vayihisham legoy gadol otzum varav. So what does that mean? We become this massive nation. So the drasha here is Vayhi Sham Legoy. Oh, I skipped I didn't do one underline. Gadol Atzum, and then Varav. How are we going to be? That we're going to be Kemoshe Neemar and Bisemaot. B'shivim nefesh erdu ha-basech ha-mitzrayimah. Va'ata now, Samcha Hashem Elokecha ke-kochvei ha-shamayim larov. We are now like stars. We started as 70, and then we became innumerable, enormous number. And that's the end of this pasuk. We went down to Egypt, we were starting as a small number, and then the drushes, we became many. So this Haggadah, this is called Haggadah Shel Pesach Ezras Avoseinu. Ezras Avoseinu Haggadah Mi Boston. It's the Likut of Divrei Torah from the Hasidus of the Bostoner Hasidim, which traces itself back to the Baal Shem HaKadosh. So they have a Ha'ara here, a quote, a beautiful insight from the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem HaKadosh explains, and this is also something we could think about during this time, that we went down as 70, and then we came back as innumerable as the Koch V'Hashemayim Larov. Says the Baal Shem HaKadosh, when Avraham Avinu was told, look at the heavens, your children will be Kechoch V'Hashemayim, they will be like the stars. Says the Baal Shem HaKadosh, T'kemosh HaKochavim Nirun L'mata K'tanim U'lamala B'Hashemayim Him G'dolim Ma'od. From our perspective in this world, we look up at stars and they look like specks of light. They look infinitesimally small. And yet, if you were to travel to space, you would see that these are enormously radiant, huge bodies. Kein b'nei Yisrael nirim ketanim lamata ba'olam hazeh. We look small in this world. Uba'olam ha'elyon in the upper world. Him gedolam l'ma'od. We are very big. Why did we leave Egypt? To become Hashem's people. Being Hashem's people means that even though we are small in this earth, lo merubchem mikol ha'amim, the pasuk says, we weren't chosen because we were many in terms of our size. We're not. We're a fragment, a tiny, tiny fraction of the billions of people who are on the face of this earth. But that's not what it's all about. It's about being a star. Being a star means having intrinsic spiritual worth. We left Egypt because we have a mission. And that mission of an ethical teaching, of bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, of being the ambassadors of the Shechina, of bringing the Shechina out of hiding into our world, that is the greatest, most illuminating mission ever. And even though we might be a small number, we can do that in a huge way. This year, many of us may have smaller numbers of our siddurim. Many of us used to get together with many people, many friends or family members. We're not going to have that this year. So our number is going to be smaller. But the Baal Shem HaKadosh is telling you that we could still be a star. The light that is emanating from our Seder can shine extraordinarily bright even if we have a small number of people. That's not going to hold us back. Just like the Jewish people, we shine when we go up there where it really matters. In the world of Nitzchias, in the eternal world, Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ve'atzmo, when we look at the end of our lives at what really matters, when we look down, Habet, that's when Avraham Avinu is told, Usvar HaKochavim, to go out, to go up to the heavens. From that perspective, it's totally different. What really matters is our Ruchnius. What really matters is the light that we bring to the world, not how many people are at our Seder. It's the kind of Seder that we lead this year and that, the life that we lead every single day. So we went down Onos al Pi Adibur, we became many people, and then Vayareu Osonu HaMitzrim. So this is the Olas Riyah, this is the collection of Haaris that Rav Kook has on the Siddur. It's also in the back, in the second section, it's also the Haggadah and his Haaris on the Yamim Tovim. So it's fascinating. There's a tiny, tiny, if you can even see how tiny it is, there's one little dot on the bottom of this page. I think all you see is my nose on this. This is Sirusha Me'avosenu, that when I'm on the screen, you never know what proportion's going on. So anyway, Vayareu Osonu HaMitzrim, this tiny footnote, it says, Hayamazkir Umadgish Alze Es Hadrasha Sha'asu Osonu Roem. Rav Kook, when he would say over the Haggadah at his Seder table, and I'll mention when we're thinking about the Haggadah, just one personal special shout out that my grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, my paternal grandfather, my father's father, Motel Brand, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Remordchai Pinchas Ben Rebruven HaKohen. So he was a religious Zionist Hasid. He came from Galicia, where he had the full kashket with the Pelech. And back in the day, his father, our family, they were also religious Zionists in Galicia. So when he came to America, so he and a few friends got to work on practicing farming in New Jersey, and then he forged his parents' signatures, and he got, as a teenager, he got a set of papers to go to what was at that time Palestine in 1934. And he went in 1934 to spend the Seder as a young, single guy from America working on building the land of Israel at the Seder of Rav Kook. The year before Rav Kook passed away, he died on Gimel El in 1935. So it says here, and I never had the chance, my grandfather passed away just before my bar mitzvah, to ask him what that was like at Rav Kook's table. I can't even imagine. Mamish, literally, at the Shulchan of the Shechina. It says here in the footnote that when Rav Kook would say this pasuk, it says, Vayareu Osonu HaMitzrim. It doesn't say that the Mitzrim did bad to us. That would be Vayareu Lanu HaMitzrim. But Rav Kook, it says here in the footnote, Hayamazkir Umadgish, he would mention and emphasize at his Seder in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, the Drasha Sha'asu Osanu Roem. Take a look at the Medrash HaGadol, he says. He says, you know what was so bad about being in Egypt? It wasn't that we worked. Obviously, that was terrible. It wasn't that we suffered. Obviously, that was terrible. But it's Vayareu Osonu HaMitzrim. The Mitzrim made us diminished. That because we were in their environment, because they affected us, they took away from our luster. They made us into people who sank to the lowest, most depraved levels. The Mem Tes Shari Tumah. Chazal tell us, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not taken us out, Chas V'Shalom. By the way, even though it says, had we not been taken out, something would have happened, the Sfasimah says, don't worry. Nothing would have happened. There's no such thing as Nun Shari Tumah. There's only Nun Shari Chachma. Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would never, it's not, he had to take us out, Kiviyachol, because we couldn't have gone to the 50th level of Tumah. There's no such thing. The Jewish people always have that connection. But in this context, we ended up at the 50th level of Tumah. That's what's the problem, Rav Kook says. We are now in Golus, and we need to pinch ourselves sometimes. The Gemara says in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, Yisrael b'chutz laretz, the Jewish people outside of Israel, were ovdei Avodah Zarah b'tahara. We serve idols with purity, with tahara. Because we say, we have kosher food, we have minyanim, but you know what? At the same time, the Gemara says, we're also ovdei Avodah Zarah. we have to be careful that the culture, which at times is hospitable, but in many respects is wholly antithetical to spiritual and meaningful values of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Tahara, is that pervasive? Is that pervading our lives? Is it influencing our homes? Is it getting near us? Is it having an effect on Osanu? So that's the challenge, Rav Kook says, Vayareu Osanu HaMitzrim. Because we were Shakua in Mitzrayim, we were Goy Mikarev Goy, we assimilated their values, and we became Ra. We sank to the 49th level of Tuma. Yet, Rav Kook writes elsewhere in the Haggadah, even though we say Va'at Erum Ve'eria, we were naked, we had no mitzvos, but on the other hand, we still had not given up on our inner chirus. Just like we can't reach the 50th level of Tuma, there is an inner voice within us that says, I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew, I have meaning, I have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I will not sink into a depraved value system. I will not disconnect from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And no matter where we've gone, and in our generation, the Nisyonos Lo Aleinu, no matter what people have seen or what they have done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu and our inner connection to God can never be broken. That will always remain. Rav Kook says that within the Jew, it is always poem. It is always beating. The Jewish heart is always beating no matter what happens, no matter where the person has gone. So even if we sang to the Memtesh Shari Tuma, Avayareu Osanu HaMitzrim, but at the end of the day, Vanitzak, we scream, we can get out. The next pasuk, this is the third in the sequence of the pasukim, Vanitzak El Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, we scream to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean, we scream to Him? We davened. That's what we're doing now. So in this beautiful Haggadah, this new Haggadah in recent years from Rav Asher Weiss, which is hard to get now, but I think you can still get the English version, Rav Asher Weiss quotes a very interesting observation on this, because when we get to the Yam Suf, Moshe Rabbeinu starts to daven, and the Medrash says, what are you doing? Why are you davening? The Jews are suffering. Ma titzaki lai? Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. And similarly, when Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for his sister Miriam when she was affected by tzaras, it says, Kel na rafan Allah. The Medrash says, in the Mechilta, there's a time to daven long, and then there's a time to daven short. Now's a good time to daven short. So how do we know, Vanitzak, how do we know when to daven? And this Vanitzak, by the way, the Mefarshim struggle, whether it might be a cry even just of pain, just a guttural cry that's not even a word-filled tefillah, it's just a longing for God. That too is a tefillah. The feeling of we need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we can't articulate it. But what kind of tefillah, how do we know? So he says an amazing idea. He quotes from the Heiliget Zanzer Rebbe, who apparently used to quote often from a Pinchas of Koretz. The Koretz used to say that when a person has a tzara gedola lo yispalel rak yiftach ba'ashem, koach habitachon is mashlim the koach of tefillah. What does that mean? So, Rav Asher Weiss explains that the koach of tefillah, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change his mind, but one of the dimensions of tefillah is that we open up, imagine opening the valve on a submarine and letting the water in. We open up when we daven, we open up to ourselves, to having the Shefa, the Baruch of Hashem, come in. But there's another channel of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is through bitachon. So, when the Jewish people stood at the Yam Suf, what did Hashem say to them? Don't daven now, exercise bitachon, walk into the water. What he's telling us is that these are two paths and that they oscillate with each other. There's a footnote in the biography of the Chazon Ish that talks about how different people and different stages in our lives have different levels of bitachon. So when we have stronger bitachon, then we daven less because we're working on that avoda of leaning in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we feel like our bitachon is lagging a little bit, and that's not going to be the avoda that we're tapping into at that time, so then we need to be ma'arich in tefillah. So at the time when they were enslaved, so vanitzak, they screamed out, they davened. Could be at that point their bitachon was lower. It only when they got to the Yam Suf, then vayamidu b'Hashem uvo Moshe avdo. But the idea is that there's a balance here and that we need to be working on both. We need to be working on our davening to open ourselves up to the Shefa, but we also need to be leaning in to having bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge and taking care of everything. Bitachon doesn't mean not davening, and davening doesn't mean not having bitachon. We need both, and we need to be constantly calibrating them, which I thought was such a beautiful and fascinating insight and important for our time. And this Vanitzak, I forget what sefer it is. When I was putting things away, I lost the sefer, so I didn't put it in the chart, but I can't help myself. I have to share it. Such an important insight. Vanitzak, when did we cry? The pasuk says, Vanitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. You see in the underlying, Kamoshen Emar, Vayhi bayomim harabim ahem, vayomos melech Mitzrayim. When did we start to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When the melech Mitzrayim, when the king of Egypt died. So I saw in one of the Sfarim a beautiful, beautiful maisa. What does it mean that we started to cry out to Hashem when the king of Egypt died and we had a break? Vayyonchu min ha'avoda. Why is that when we cried out to God? A man once came to a Rebbe, and I apologize, I don't have the sefer in front of me, so I don't remember which. It was in a pile and it got lost. Maybe it'll turn up. A chassid came to the Rebbe. A woman comes to the Rebbe, and she says, Rebbe, I'm begging you, I have no children. Could you please give me a bracha for children? I've done everything. I've gone to every doctor, and it hasn't worked. And the Rebbe says to her, I know you for a long time. I know you don't have children. I would love to give you a bracha. But the only way that I can give you a bracha is that if you donate 10,000 rubles to tzedakah, that's the only way I can help you. The woman looks at the Rebbe, and she says, Rebbe, I don't even have 5 rubles to my name. You're telling me that I need 10,000 rubles for tzedakah? That's how you're going to help me? The Rebbe says, I'm sorry. The only way that I can help you is 10,000 rubles to tzedakah. The woman looks at the Rebbe, and she walks back out of the room. And she closes the door, and she looks up in God, and she says, Ribono Shel Olam! The Rebbe doesn't want to help me. The doctors can't help me. You're the only one who can help me. Please help me. And at that moment, the Rebbe opens the door and he says, Emir Hashem, this year, you'll have children. And she got it. And she left. And that year, she had a child. That's the Maisa. Because sometimes the Rebbe wanted her to understand that it's not about relying on Vanitzak to the doctors. We have to do our shtadlos. It's not looking to Rebbes for brachas. They're not the purveyors ultimately. Ultimately, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the pshat in this, I saw in this sefer, beautiful, beautiful pshat. Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim. The king of Egypt dies, so now the Jews figures, oh, it's going to be much better. Now we're not going to have to work so hard. So they had pinned their hopes on the death of the king. Then the king dies, vayonchu, they krechts, and what happens? Nothing gets better. They're still stuck. And then they realize, vanitzak, vayizaku, and then vatal shavasim el ha'elokim min ha'avoda. Their words, their cry goes out to the Ribono Shel Olam from their work. Why? Because only then did they really pin their hopes on God. Like the Rebbe said, ultimately you can't pin your hopes on the doctors, because as we know now, doctors only know something. We thought 3 months ago, we know everything. But we realize now we don't know everything. We don't control everything. Even Rebbes, the Rebbe said, we think we're going to go for a bracha. The Rebbe's going to be the solution. The Rebbe's only a conduit. The Rebbe wants this woman to know. He wants all of us to know. Ultimately, don't pin your hopes on anyone except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, Vatal Shavasim, Elo Elo Kimin Avoda. That's why our cries went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what did he hear? Vayishma Hashem es kolenu vayaris anyenu ves amolenu elo habanim. So this is the Haggadah of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, of Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson, Zeche Tzadik Levracha. So he has a fascinating Ha'ara. And this Ha'ara is so powerful, especially in light of the fact that the Rebbe himself had no children. An amazing idea. Now, I can't say that I get this 100%, and I hope I'm representing it correctly, because this Haggadah is in Yiddish, and my Yiddish is not so good. But the Rebbe asks a very simple question. He says, wait a second. The Pasuk says, Vayar esonyenu, he saw our suffering, ves amalenu. He saw our amal, our hard work. What's that? Says the Medrash, Elo habanim. This is the banim. K'mol she'nemar, as it says in the pasuk, kol habena yilod ha'yorot hashlichuhu. You should throw every child, every firstborn boy, every boy that's born, not just firstborn, into the river, and every girl you should let live. So the Rebbe asks a simple question. This verse, how does it prove the point? It says, amaleinu, our work, that's children. How do you know that? Shenemar? They threw all the children, the baby boys, into the river. How does that prove that bonim is amaleinu? Das lernt uns. So you know what we learn, says the Raya. He says, Deraya is ein allgemein, as is gewein atzar wegen bonim, but bringt nit kin Raya. We realize that the tzar is about children, but we don't have any Rayas. And his answer is, the answer is that children, as our amal, our hard work, the kinder, as he refers to them, doesn't need a raya. Is mashma, is das is a dvar poshet, on vibaltas das is a dvar poshet, darf man oif demnit hoben kin liben von a pasuk. You know what our ultimate labor is? The most important thing to us, our goal, that which we really work for, our amal, is our children. And the Rebbe says, that doesn't need a proof. That's obvious. Of course, our most important labor is our children. Es amaleinu ela bonim. Obvious. Obvious, says the Rebbe. And then he goes on to point out that even the children who are not our physical children, our students, our adopted children, they also are amaleinu. So what is the pasuk? He says, that is exactly what Paro was trying to get rid of. You know how you see that that was the most important thing to the Jewish people then and the Jewish people today? It's from the fact that the Jewish people were being attacked at the nekuda of their children. Because they were throwing the boys in the river, that shows, says the Rebbe, it must be that's the main thing. He says that is the ikar, the first, the erste mitzvah in der Torah is puravu. The first mitzvah in the Torah is puravu, and that's not just physically populating the world, but it's also spiritually populating the world, being machanech our children. And if we don't have physical children, it means contributing to mostos, whether it's schools or children that are nourished in shuls or through the kollel programs. Tons of things that we can do practically to remind ourselves to nourish amaleinu elo habanim. What a beautiful idea. Then we think about what's hard, and it is hard. Raising children is hard. We have, Baruch Hashem, 5 children, thank God, in our home. It's trying to be a good parent is not an easy thing. Ve'es amaleinu elo habanim. But it doesn't need a raya that is the main focus, the main work in our life. Vatal shavosam min ha'avoda comes up from the avoda. What does it mean that we have avoda? So this is the Haggadah. We are down to our last 3 ha'aras. We're hopefully going to finish right on time. This is the Haggadah of the Avni Nezer, the Hilig HaSochachav Rebbe, Rebbe Avram Bornstein. And in the footnote of the Haggadah, they quote a story from a sefer called the Shemen HaTov, that when the Avni Nezer went to the Levaya of the Ger Rebbe, he spoke about the Ger Rebbe, and this idea that we have avoda. Does each one of us have our own avoda? What is our mission? What is our goal? What is the work that we're doing in this world? What is my job? And that doesn't mean, what is my vocation? What do I do for a sustenance in this earthly, you know, existence? What's my avoda in my avodas Hashem? We're crying out, homiletically, say the chassidim, min ha'avoda. We reached out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, what is our avoda this yontif? What is our avoda to you when we are sequestered, when we are quarantined, when we're isolated? What's our avoda? That's the question we need to be asking ourselves. When we ask questions at the Seder, one of the questions is, ma ha'avoda, what is our avoda Hashem? So they quote here in the footnote, that when the Sachat Shavar came to Gur, to be maspid, to eulogize the passing of the Sfas Emes, the Heilige Ger Rebbe. And he says that the Ger Rebbe was so holy, so unbelievable, that he finished his entire Avodas Hashem in this world. He finished his Avoda. The mission that he was brought here for was finished. However, he says, this is the amazing thing, that there are tzaddikim, who not only finish their work, their avoda, their personal service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they find ways to reinvent themselves. He quotes this from the Halakha Koznetzer Magid, that the Koznetzer Magid used to say that there were tzaddikim who finished their mashlam, their work, umagiyas manam lehistalik, and it's time for them to go back to the Ribono Shel Olam. But you know what they do? They reinvent themselves. They find eitzos of new avodas. They become reinvented. So the question is always, what's our avoda at this stage of my life? Maybe I finished my avoda of my 20s, I need to come up with a new avoda, a new way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in my 30s. Maybe I'm in my 70s, and now I've looked back on an avoda, on a life that I finished, an avoda that is completed, but it's not time to go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know why? Because I could create a new avoda. What's my next? And we look at people that have this capacity to be the nar, even though they are a zakein, right? In the Chazal parlance, a zakein means zesha kana chachma, but it doesn't mean somebody who's old in years. Zakein is usually associated with somebody who is fixed. They're not growing. They're not innovating. But we know people who are a nar. They are youthful, childlike, as Rav Soloveitchik would say about his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik was a grandfather, but he was also a child. He was a nar. So finding ways to be like a nar, to come up with, what's my next avoda? Some of us are getting older, whether we're getting into our 50s or getting into our 80s. And the question becomes, did I finish my avoda? Maybe I did. Maybe I finished my avoda for that last tekufa. But what's my next avoda? What's my new avoda Hashem? Vanitzach, we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu minhu avoda, from our work. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, b'yad chazak of Zeron Etuya, but He took us out. Vayotzienu Hashem Mitzrayim, God took us out. Lo al yedei malach, v'lo al yedei shleach, elo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu Himself. When we have an avoda, when we are being saved, what we remember at the Seder is the fact that we have a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not through a malach. Especially when we're going through a difficult time, a person who, lo aleinu, has fallen into a different bad places, that even a malach can't go there because they would get dirty and filthy and trapped. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu can come with us everywhere. No matter how far we've fallen, no matter how long we've been lost, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be there. We have a direct connection to Him. Listen to this most unbelievable story. This is from the Haggadah of Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. So Rabbi Twersky tells the following, Dr. Twersky tells the following most unbelievable story. He says he davened at the Kotel once, and he's standing there, and nearby walks over a blind man. And he says, a blind man approached the wall, and after bestowing a gentle kiss on the sacred stones, he ran his fingers over the stones, feeling centuries of Jewish history in the ridges and troughs of the massive boulders. He began a conversation with God, relating many personal things. He then paused a few moments and said, oh, I'm sorry. That I already told you yesterday. And continued his conversation. I was electrified, says Dr. Twersky, by the character of this man's prayer. It appeared to me much different than the regular routine rituals of prayer which we so often practice. This was an intimate one-to-one conversation between him and God. Ani v'lo malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to our Seder. So where is God at the Seder? Are we talking to Him? Are we davening to Him? Are we having that intimate one-on-one conversation with Him? Not through a malach, not through a siddur, not through anything else. And we get the Esar Makos, and they conclude with Rabbi Yehuda, who would give them Hayonosvem Simonim. There are multiple Sfarim that talk about this Simonim. This is one Sefer who summarizes some Rav Rimon's Haggadah, the Shiras Miriam. Then there is also a summary here in the Chernobyler Haggadah, and the Ma'orei Naim, and the footnote, and the Abarbanel. They all mention the same Ha'aros of the series of the Detzach Adash Ba'achav. Yes, Rabbi Yehuda was the Rosh HaMedabrim. He was always insisting on using mnemonics in great ways to educate people. He was a great pedagogue. But there are also other layers of meaning here. The first one is that these three sequences had a series. The first one had a warning. The second one had a warning. The third one had no warning. That's one way of looking at this. Another one is that the first ones were done by Aaron, the second one was done by Moshe, the third one was done primarily by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shechin, Moshe, he threw it up and then it came down. But the other way to think about this, and that's what these Haggadahs all mention, is that Paro was not just being punished, he was being taught. And even if Paro was being punished, we are being taught. We are supposed to learn something through the Ten Makos. The Ten Makos pattern the Aseres Hadibros, and they pattern the three stages, ten utterances of the Asar Ma'amoros, the first statements. So these three stages are stages of education for us about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to understand. Paro says, who is God? I don't know anything about God. Where is He? What is He? So we have to teach Paro, and we have to learn for ourselves. We have to tell our children. We have to learn something. It's not just a punishment. It's an emuna textbook, or it's an emuna experiential education. That the first three teach us that there is a God. Ki ani Hashem, there is a God. He flip-flops on nature. Ki ani Hashem, there is a God. The second is, ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. God is involved. He's aware. It's not some kind of mechanistic clockwork type of thing. Ani Hashem bekerev ha'aretz. And the third one is, it's mamchish, the concept of nevuah, and ultimately bechiras klal Yisrael. That v'hifleisi HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just get involved, he gets involved and he shares that message with Moshe Rabbeinu, with his Nevi'im, and chooses the Jewish people. These are the lessons of Emuna, that we have a God who created the world, who runs the world, who has a connection to us, who listens to us, and who chose us. So to summarize the quick ha'aris that we had today, we started with the idea of choosing Mikra Bikurim as our text for the drushes, because it teaches us primarily about gratitude. It's the four and the five. Reb Chatzkel Levenstein reminds us that even in the most challenging times, even as a Holocaust survivor, as a refugee, he knew that through Churban can also come Binyan. The Roe and the Oved Adama, the agrarian life, which is... it's a synthesis of being the kind and gentle shepherd, but also the confident and strong landowner. Starting with Lavan in the name of the Ma'ariv Beirav from Rav Kasher, of understanding sowing the seeds of machlokas with Lavan, something that we can fix, try to mend these machlokas in. Onas al piyadibur, the Koshnitzer son, the Koshnitzer Magid, telling us that we went down to Shechina to Mitzrayim because the Shechina went down, and we're going to always be together with the Shechina, and He's going to be always together with us. We're going to become kechoch ve'ashamayim, like stars of the sky. Baal Shem Tov said, because even if down here we're a small number, but when you go up to the heavens, to the spiritual world where it really matters, we are very important. Vayareu Osanu, says Rav Kook, the real problem in Egypt was that we sank to the level of the Egyptians, but we never lost that spark, that inner pa'amon, which can bring us back. Vanitzak, said Rav Asher Weiss, do we daven a long or a short prayer? It depends on our level of bitachon, and working on both tefillah and bitachon at the same time in a crisis. V'yasam aleinu, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, elo habonim, and it's obvious. The main focus, the work that we're doing, is to make sure that we can collectively raise Jewish children. Min ha'avoda, we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from our work. What's the work? Said the Hilga Avni Nezer. The work is our Avodas Hashem. Anivlo Malach, having that direct connection, that personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the 10 Makos teaching us the 10 lessons, the 10 layers, the 10 spheros through the sections of the Tzach, Hadash, Ba'achav. I am God, meaning your God. I am God who's involved in the world. I'm sending you a message through the Nevuah. I'm giving you a message that you are going to bring to the world, being chosen, B'nei B'chori Yisrael. I wish all of us a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, a brachos of Refuahs, Yeshuahs, Geula. Everybody should be well. We will be sending out, Mirtz Hashem, lots of resources from the Kolo, please God, over the coming week. Thank you to Rick and Sharon Cohen for sponsoring. Rick, your mom's neshama should have an aliyah. We should all be together in Yerushalayim HaKodesh for the Pesach Mikdash, for the Zvachim and the Pesachim, eating together. Enjoy Yontif. I'm sorry I can't see you in person, but I feel connected to all of you. And best wishes for a Chag Kosher V'Sameach.